whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
What are you doing over there?
I was curious if anybody else had come up with the nickname Lad McConkey.
The H instead of the big C there?
Yeah, and I'm like, definitely, 100%. You brought that up during the break. We were trying to come up with the equivalent of, like, what's the equivalent of the white college point guard?
In the NFL.
The scrappy white Duke point guard in the NFL. The Duke point guard especially, where you're like, man, even the people you would think would love this guy because he's white hate him because he's white.
It's the Patriots white slot receiver.
Slot receiver. Yeah. Edelman or Wes Welker. Or
Amendola.
Yeah, like because it was the Patriots, you're like,
They're good. Yeah.
And you were like, because Lad McConkey, people seem to like him.
Yeah.
And he's still primarily a slot receiver.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, definitely. Oh, yeah, I can buy a Lad McConkey t-shirt.
Yeah. Where they spell it M-C-H-O-N-K-Y.
Yes, it says, celebrate White Lightning, Lad McConkey.
White Lightning? Cracker McSlotty.
Funny. Yeah, the whole Reed Shepherd,
did you see he had 49 points in the G League the other night, Reed Shepherd?
Yeah, I heard he didn't complain about it either.
No.
That's what you get out of a guy like Reed Shepherd.
Reed Shepherd, I tell you. He didn't storm off the floor like that Cameron Whitmore.
None of this flashy jazz.
His shenanigans.
Doesn't listen to jazz music either. That's for the devil it is.
17 points in 18 minutes and you storm off the floor and don't high-five anybody.
Not since Bob Cousy is a young talent come along like this.
Show the
world how proper basketball is played.
Reed Shepherd's down on the border toiling down there, I tell you. 49 points. 17.
Look at that rebounding.
17 to 33 he was.
Yeah, so if you want your Lad McConkey t-shirt, you can go to dogzillasports.com.
A minute for dogzilla.com. All right. Jacksonville is still a laughing stock. We're going to circle back in the next segment to some of the things Nick Caserio had to say.
I'll still give you credit for coming up with that nickname, even though in this day and age of social media, it's hard to come up with anything original. So I still give credit. If you come up with it without actually having heard of it, it's like, you came up with it. A bunch of other people did too, but you came up with
it. Yeah, I just said, well, he's got Honky in his last name. All right. We'll get to Nick Caserio in the next segment. Jacksonville's still very up in the air. I'm keeping an eye on these other AFC South teams because all of them seem to be in a mode of either like just running it back with a bat. They're all in a mode of self-mutilation, it feels like right now, which is beautiful for the Houston Texans. Pete Prisco, who is based out of Jacksonville, you know Pete very well from your time as a Jaguar back in the day, writes for CBSSports.com now. He was on a Jacksonville, well, it looked like a Jacksonville podcast, a Jags podcast, and I forget the name of it, I apologize. But Trent Baalke, the GM.
Jagzilla.
Trent Baalke, the GM, is still there in Jacksonville.
And Pete hates Trent Baalke.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
And in this cut, he's saying the Trent Baalke thing may not be for long, and then listen to him beg for Ben Johnson to come to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm.
What I was told was the coach will now have the major juice in the building. And they've said that in the past, but now I think it's to the point where that coach comes in, it's his power. And it should be. And in that scenario, if it's his power, then he should be able to make the decision on who he wants as the general manager. And I think that's why guys that they say, I might not interview for that job, go interview for it.
Yeah.
And exhibit A is Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson supposedly wants that job. That was the one he was eyeing all along. You know, he's from North Carolina. He's, it's a small town, you know, a small town feel to it. Jacksonville has that same feel. Jacksonville has no state, there's no state income tax. They have an owner that doesn't meddle. He kept that guy there for how long? Trent Baalke's been there for how long?
Yeah.
So you have a quarterback who you can make Jared Goff, same type of guy. You can do that with him. And so I think Ben Johnson's drawn to that. Well, go interview.
I don't know if you can make Trevor Lawrence Jared Goff. I don't.
You can't make him what?
Jared Goff.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh. I thought you said something else.
Oh,
ben
no.
I thought you did.
No. I didn't say that.
He is very religious, yes.
Jared Goff. Yeah,
there will be no seed spilled.
Did you?
Yes.
You didn't dump that, did you, Ben? Okay. I said Jared Goff.
I knew who you were talking about. I honestly thought that's what you said.
I talk a little fast sometimes.
Okay, so... I don't know. I think there's an avenue by which you could make. I mean, Ben Johnson made Jared Goff. Jared Goff.
No, I
Jared
know.
Goff had been just like thrown out like a used tissue out of L.A.
No,
and
you're
now
right.
Look at him.
Yeah.
Except when he's playing in NRG Stadium.
I just think there's an element to Jared Goff's game that accuracy is a lot of it. You know.
Yeah.
It's more pinpoint. Trevor Lawrence. I mean, for a guy who was a number one overall pick, he's scattershot.
Well, I don't. The big thing with Trevor Lawrence is it's like if he knows where he's going with the ball at the beginning of the play, yeah. He's got beautiful accuracy.
And maybe Ben
like,
Johnson makes
touch
it easier.
And everything
him.
Else yeah. like that. Yeah. Yeah. So I that's the one move that I would. I'd be way more fearful of that, if that's the right term, or it would raise my eyebrows more. Than, say, even hiring Urban Meyer. Because Urban Meyer was a big wild card. It was either going to be awesome or it was going to be disaster. It was option B.
Yeah.
With Ben Johnson, all right, I have no idea how he'll be as a head coach.
Right.
But if you're trying to get the most out of Trevor Lawrence, this is probably your best way to get a bona fide offensive coordinator in there who's been part of a difficult turnaround. That's why I'm stumping for Aaron Glenn, too. Like, Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator for the Lions, when he got to Detroit... That was one of the worst defenses in the league.
Yes.
And he had to oversee and be a part of a four-year real turnaround. And the offense turned around before the defense. And now he's dealing with all these injuries and that they're still playing the way they are. Likewise with Ben Johnson, he's been part of a difficult turnaround. When he got the play-calling duties, it was as they fired the offensive coordinator in the middle of a season.
Yeah.
So that's as a Texans fan... That's the one that I most that I don't want to see. I'd like to see the Ben Johnson experiment play out elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like the Jaguars are going to get worse if Ben Johnson doesn't work out, but there's an upside there where they could get way, way better.
Well, they've got no choice. The Jags do at this point. They've got to get a solution that gets the most out of Trevor Lawrence based on what he costs now.
Yeah,
you know, like this is not like they fired Urban. It's not the same mentality. Like when they hired Doug Peterson, and at the time that made sense because. You drafted the guy young, and he's still on his rookie deal. Now it's like a five-alarm fire. You got to – like because Trevor Lawrence ain't going anywhere for the next few years.
Yeah.
You know, at least when he was on his rookie deal, if he wasn't working out under Doug Peterson his second year, and he worked out great the second year, they won the division. But if he wasn't working out, well, then you punt on Trevor Lawrence. But now you can't punt on Trevor Lawrence, not without taking like a Russell Wilson-sized cap hit.
Yeah.
You know,
Shad Khan, the owner, is an interesting one too because he's a guy I really want to like. Because he does, like Pete was saying there, he does do a lot of the things the right way and the way you want your owner to operate. Let the football people make. Now, he lets the football people make the football decisions, and yet he's also inserted his professional wrestling son into a guy that has a voice on draft today.
Yeah.
Now, he's in charge of the undrafted free agents, but still, I'm guessing there's a lot of... Okay, what happens when you're interviewing for that job? That's a big elephant in the room, man. Are you like, okay, thank you, Mr. Khan, for the opportunity. I got to tell you, honestly, I need to evaluate everybody, and that includes your son.
Well.
And there's a chance that I might choose not to use him in his current role.
There's always a chance that, well, if anything happens to Shad Khan, not to be too morbid, you're working for Tony Khan.
Oh, there's no morbidity about it. Yeah. I mean, he's old.
He's an old man. Yeah,
I don't care how rich he is. He's old.
You know who's got takes?
And he parties hard.
He does. Yeah. And he's got a handlebar mustache, which is amazing. You know who's got takes on the Khan family? Mad Dog Russo. Not a big fan of the Khan family in Jacksonville.
Let's call this like we see it. How about this Jacksonville owner, Khan? He doesn't get a lot of grief. He is by far horrendous. He's owned the team since 2011. Mm. They have had 1 year where they won 10 games.
Yeah.
Did you know that? The man has been there for 13 years. He's had 1 year where he's won 10 games. They are non-competitive. Furthermore, he brought Urban Meyer in. He plays two games in London because he wants to become the United Kingdom's team. Trust me, my mother's English. Nobody in the world, nobody cares in London about the stupid Jacksonville Giants. They're there for 2 weeks. They lose the home game. That's a mess. And then he goes out there and he fires Peterson and keeps the GM there this week.
Yeah.
And then his statement says, well, I understand we're going to lose some head coaching candidates because I kept the GM. Well, hold on now. And he's got his kid. Who's the head of the statistical data? How could you say anything about Jacksonville when you got the kids sitting in the freaking front office? What's he ever done in football? Let's call it like we see it. We kill the owners all the time. Woody's awful. Haslam, we just named a few. Jerry, how many times have we killed Jerry here?
Yeah.
Let's call it like we see it. There is nobody worse than Khan. look at his record. Go look at his record as the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. It is behind. It's pathetic. So we kill Lawrence. We kill Peterson. We kill Doug Marone. We kill this. We kill. Right. How about killing a guy who left the base start the paychecks? This is not freaking an automotive store where he made his fortune. This is an NFL team.
Wasn't an automotive story. Like, yeah, he designed a bumper that ended up being used on 70% of American-made cars.
Yeah.
But but whatever. Now, this is the thing with Shad Khan. All those nice things I said about him, including the fact that he does – the fact that – the reason – one of the reasons the Jaguars are able to stay in Jacksonville, one of the smallest markets that doesn't have any of the same Green Bay qualities to it is because, like, he's had to figure out ways to kind of get revenue from elsewhere and everything. And I actually think his strategy towards London is, I think it's smart. But if I were to have a conversation with 74-year-old Shad Khan, it would be the same conversation I might have with a teenager about the people with whom you're associating and some of the bad influences in your life. One being Trent Baalke.
Yes.
And the other possibly being your own son.
Yes.
Which is which is a tough conversation to have, but he very much feels like one of these owners who's still, at the time at least, a decade ago, you could say he's new to the sport. He's got to learn some of these lessons. When Shad Khan came out at the beginning of the season and said this was the most talented Jaguars team that they've ever had, people in Jacksonville were like, "What the hell are you talking about?" Like, they went to two AFC Championship games in 3 years. They went 14-2 in 1999. And Jags fans are like, do you even know the history of your own team?
Of your own team that you bought.
Of your own team. And then it couldn't have blown up in his face even worse. So somebody in the Jaguars organization told me, or somebody that is very close to the Jaguars organization, said their suspicion is that, yeah, that came directly from Trent Baalke. Like that feels exactly like, okay.
Pulling the strings on him.
Like, yeah. Shad Khan is a billionaire puppet on Trent Baalke's string.
God.
So, at some point you got to... Yeah, cut the apron strings, man. It's time to live on your own, Shad Khan. You got a mega yacht, okay? You know, you don't need this hanger on Trent Baalke telling you what to do.
That's fascinating, man. Like, Trent, I feel like Trent Baalke should write a book. You know, like they how do you hang on this long in these organizations?
Trent Baalke is to Shad Khan what Jerry Jones is to Jerry Jones.
Yes.
He's an owner that's got a GM that's got way too much influence over him.
Yep, the voice is in his head. Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday. Simple question. Is CJ Stroud a better quarterback now than he was this time a year ago? We'll talk about the offensive line. We did talk about the offensive line with Nick yesterday. You'll hear it if you missed it coming up next.